So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribe.
Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A.
Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview.
Last year, Wisconsin hemp farmers grew 1,643 field acres of hemp, and they also grew 22 greenhouse acres of hemp. But this year, the interest is running so much higher for a second Wisconsin hemp growing season. To talk about that and to explain it, and we need to tweak our laws a little bit, thanks to my left, Secretary Brad Pfaff of the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, Senator Pat Teston, he's a Republican from Stevens Point, he represents the 24th Senate District, and Representative Tony Kurtz of Wanawak, who represents the 50th District. So thanks, everybody. Before we talk about, we have to tweak the laws a little bit, right? Okay, yeah. Before we get to that, let's talk about lessons learned from 2018. Mr. Ag Secretary, how did our hemp farmers do last year?
Wisconsin farmers are extremely resilient and hardworking. They're extremely dedicated, and they stepped forward last year. What we saw in 2018 was a number of smaller acreage patches. People are interested in this crop. There's opportunities. I don't need to remind people how low commodity prices are right now.
Yes.
So farmers are interested in this. But some lessons that we need to learn are the following. We need to recognize that there's a supply chain as well. Processors as well as producers. We need to continue to have that conversation to make sure we have processors and producers that come forward. I am pleased to say in 2019, the interest from the processing industry is right there. The producers and processors are stepping forward. So I'm excited about that. Last year was an interesting growing year as well, though. It was a wet. It rained, and so the
hemp
crop
doesn't like that moisture.
Hemp doesn't care for that moisture. So we're learning that, but we're excited about the future.
Now, you gentlemen will take the lead on the tweak we have to pass. So I'm wondering what you heard from your hemp farmers last year in terms of some anecdotes. Did they make money? Obviously, are they planning on doing it again? We'll be looking at the numbers here in a few minutes. Tony, what have you heard?
Well, I had my license last year to grow hemp, and I actually did not grow hemp last year because something what the secretary said is there wasn't a lot of end markets, and as a farmer, you want to make sure you can sell that product, and that was some concerns last year. And to the secretary's point, the processor interest this year is night and day from last year, and so now you see from the stats, which you're going to show in a second, you see those growers coming on board.
Right.
And last year was an anomaly, I think, for weather-wise. You know, August was so wet in so many areas, and profits, there wasn't. If you made a profit growing hemp last year, you were one of the few. The vast majority of people, I have a farmer in my own district that had 17 acres of hemp. It's still standing right now because he didn't have a market. He didn't bother combining it. So I'm very optimistic that the processors now are on board. There's places going up. We're going to be able to sell the product. It's still a few years down the road, and so that's why I think Senator Teston and I we want to caution people. You know, we're excited about it, but you know, let's proceed cautiously. It's another great market, like the secretary said. It's just, you know, let's get into this and grow slowly. But I'm very optimistic. This year I'm growing 33 acres of hemp for organic grain,
It's
hemp.
Important now that we differentiate
yep.
the two types of licenses, growing and processing.
Right.
You applied to grow last year and didn't grow.
Correct.
This year you're applying to grow again?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the differences. Who wants to talk about the differences between processing and growing? Or, Pat, can you summarize what your farmers last year told you?
Similar to what both the Secretary and Representative Kurtz mentioned, that year one was tough. One, this was the first time since 1957 that we had a hemp crop in the state of Wisconsin. So we basically have to relearn how to grow this commodity once again. Even though
we
it was
a leader in the nation.
Right.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, we were a national leader.
1940s, 1950s?
We were the number one hemp producing state in the entire country. But because of its close similarities with its cousin, the marijuana plant, it was banned. Now, in year one, it was a rough year. We learned a lot. I think you learn a lot from the mistakes that were made in year one. Plus, Mother Nature wasn't too kind. Hemp likes dry feet, and the conditions that we had late towards the harvest season put a damper on a lot of growers in the state. But as we gear up for year two and as we work on the trailer legislation that we are working on with Representative Kurtz, it has been great to work with the Department of Agriculture and the Secretary and his team, that I think this program is going to be strengthened with the legislation that we're going to have. And as we'll see in a minute, the number of growers and processors that are interested and have filed to the state, this program has grown sixfold. So I'm really excited about it.
Okay, now let's go back to the definitions. Who can define for the audience and me growing versus processing?
Would you like to go ahead?
Well, I'm a grower, so I'm going to grow, and there's going to be multiple.
Although you didn't grow last year.
Well, and I made a conscious market decision because I didn't have a market, and I'm being very sincere about that. But this year I have a market. I already have a buyer for my grain, and it's an organization out of Eau Claire. And so I'm a grower. Now, you got multiple growers. Like, you have, I'm growing it for grain. You have some people grow it for grain and for the fiber. Some people are just growing it for fiber. Some people are just growing it for the flour. Some people are growing it just for the oil. So there's a whole different gamut. When you get into processors, obviously they need that product to process an oil. And some people are doing both. There's some growers that are doing growing and in the processing part. So I didn't mean to interrupt you, Secretary.
The representative is absolutely correct. If you think of the, if you think of it, there's the fiber from the stalk. There's leaves, there's flour, and there's also pulp. So there's countless opportunities within what we have here with hemp. Again, it's making sure that our supply chain is in place. But there's real interest among our producers, our growers, and there's the processing industry is stepping forward as well. Quite optimistic of what this may bring to the countryside.
Well, before we talk about the tweak as a result of the federal changes in the federal statute, let's look at these numbers. So let's put up these graphics. In 2018, there are 260 apps filed to grow, 247 licenses issued. But now look at the explosion from 260 apps filed, 1,460 to grow, and then let's look at processing. The number of applications, 107 of those, 100 were issued licenses, 716 this year. Mr. Secretary,
yes.
Is this increase the result of, as you mentioned earlier, low commodity prices, low milk prices, and are farmers, as hardworking as they are, seeking the next cash crop?
It is, but also I will say this. There's a tremendous interest in this state to farm. Obviously, we recognize commodity crops. We recognize dairy. But we here in this state, we're very entrepreneurial, and we seek to farm. And so there's new entrants that are coming in that seek to be part of this as well. And again, you see this as far as the interest overall in the program. Is there some existing farmers that have stepped forward, but there's some new entrants that, you know, I've said, hey, I'm interested in this. I'm interested in this as far as the variety of products that we can bring to the marketplace with this. So it's a mix of what's happening within the overall pricing structure with the conventional and organic agriculture, but also there's interest in new opportunities in agriculture.
When farmers in your districts come to you and say, I'm interested in this, I watched it last year, I'm interested in it in the second year, how do you tell them to get information about how to grow hemp? How did you get information about how to grow hemp?
Well, I called other growers, and I got, I'll be honest, I got
in other states?
In my area. That grew last year, and you'll get mixed reviews. I'm not gonna lie. Like, if I asked the gentleman that grew the 17 acres that's still standing, he's not gonna do it this year.
He isn't.
Whereas I talked to another farmer, he said I'm last year was an anomaly. Like I said, last year with the weather, he's gonna grow it this year. You know, one thing.
Did he make money? That second.
No, he did not.
He did not.
Nope, he did not.
A
but
loss.
He's optimistic. Yes, right. And
is he going to grow more this year?
It's fine. He's going to grow about the same.
Okay.
Because, once again, we want to make sure we have those producers here in the state. And I'm the same way. If I did not have a buyer for my grain already, I don't know if I would grow it. You got to have that end market, and I think all farmers. Now, the one thing I want to rest the secretary, I do organic row crops.
Yes.
Organic, especially on the western side of the state, is growing And hemp does a good job in the crop rotation for organic, well, really for a lot of rotations. And so that's one of the things that intrigued me about hemp, is to put that into my crop rotation as another tool, and it can be obviously profitable. So.
Senator, when your farmers come in the 24th District and say, I watched it last year, I'm interested this year, where do you tell them to get information?
Well, first off, as Representative Kurtz mentioned, make sure you have a buyer lined up at the end of the harvest, but get information from the department. They have done an incredible job of providing information to interested growers. And I want to mention, Steve, I think one of the reasons why we have seen such a huge explosion within year two of this program were some of the changes that were made at the federal level that clarified some gray areas that existed between federal law and state law. Right. That now that that gray area has been cleaned up, more and more people are getting on board. And I think even to Representative Kurtz's credit, I think one of the primary reasons why you stayed out in year one, if I remember right from conversations that we've had, was that there's uncertainty still. And now that that's gone, you are seeing more and more players come into the state. Not only that, you are seeing support industries come up. You've got financial institutions that are willing to get into the business, whereas in year one, it was primarily a cash business. And you have things like insurance companies that are coming online with products to ensure that this crop is treated like many others. So in year one, a lot of challenges that we overcame. Year two, exponential growth and organic growth at that.
Brad, Mr. Secretary, mm-hmm. The federal changes, how will they help Wisconsin's hemp crop in the second year?
Well, that's a good question. The 2018 Farm Bill that was signed into law by the President prior to the holidays, and it was passed by Congress in a bipartisan manner, it provided a number of opportunities to move this forward. Number one, it delisted hemp from the controlled substance list.
What used to be a Schedule 1, Schedule A or whatever?
That's correct. Okay. And the second thing it did is it provides growers like Representative Kurtz with the opportunity to participate in the federal crop insurance program. And that's very important
that's
as well.
That's a big deal.
So, I mean, that was a real important step. By doing those two things, follows up with what the senator just talked about, it helps the private sector, the lending institutions as well as the private insurance companies, to feel a little bit more comfortable coming forward and providing the financial assistance as well as the risk protection for growers. So that may help as far as when we look at the overall numbers as far as what's happening with the producer side. But also on the processing side, as both the Senator and the Representative have been very clear, we need to make sure that we have a market for the product that we're growing, and it's exciting that the processing industry is stepping forward here. Locally led to, here in the state, people are coming forward.
Well, one thing that intrigued me, this is about Wisconsin Ice's third or fourth show on this subject because we find it fascinating. Before the Farm Bill, you had to register exactly where you were going to grow hemp, the number of acres, the GPS coordinates, and federal regulators or anybody, your agency could come in and make sure. Now, have all those Big Brother aspects gone away, Mr.
Well,
Secretary?
That's a very good question, and we have shared that with the USDA, with the Agriculture Marketing Service. They had a hearing last week on this given topic, and an individual from DACAP, a representative of DACAP, did share testimony on the agency's behalf in regards to USDA Ag Marketing Service in regards to that given question. Of importance is we're looking at USDA Agriculture Marketing Service within the USDA, as well as the Food and Drug Administration. Mm-hmm. We need to make sure when they put together the rulemaking, so Congress has passed the legislation, the President signed it into law, now USDA, as well as FDA, is in the rulemaking process. So to answer that question fully, we have to wait for the rulemaking process, but definitely we want to make sure that when USDA and FDA are doing their rulemaking, that they recognize the fact that Congress's intent and the fact that states like us here in Wisconsin, we're ready to step forward and help take the regulatory lead.
I love having an organic farmer on the panel because it allows me to ask this question. Did it bother you that you would have to tell state or federal officials where your hemp crop was, the GPS coordinates, and how it was disposed of? Because those are pretty potentially Big Brother.
I'm going to be honest. No, it actually did not bother me. And going forward, that's actually still, you know, there's still a concern, because even my wife, she obviously knows we're growing hemp this year, and she said to me, are you worried about somebody stealing that? That is a concern, because even with crops going forward, we have to worry. Law enforcement has to know where these things are at. There's a multiple of reasons. And no, that actually did not bother me.
But there's not much, if any, THC in there.
Right, and that was one of those provisions that we had to put in the bill back in 2017 to get support from the law enforcement community, because one of their chief concerns was that, well, if you have someone with a big hemp field, what prevents them from growing marijuana in the middle of this field?
Oh, that's true.
Well, valid concern. Granted, Mother Nature tells a different story, because the plants would cross-pollinate, that it would dilute the THC concentration. But that was one of those provisions that we had to put in there to get buy-in from law enforcement. And to Representative Kurtz's point, we do have that still within the trailer bill that we're going to introduce. And I've heard from a number of growers that they actually kind of like that provision there, because there were instances of theft around the state. And so by having law enforcement know where these plants are, they could kind of monitor, provided the growers were working with law enforcement, to let them know, hey, can you keep an eye on this? Because even though you can't get high from the hemp plant, mm-hmm. People are still using it to get CBD or sell it, or there may have been instances, I'm not sure, where people may have tried to sell it as something that it's not.
Well, Mr. Secretary, how much enforcement can your agency monitor when the number of potential growers goes from 260 to 1460.
Well, there is tremendous interest in the countryside in regards to hemp, and that is exciting to know that. Our team at the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection, we're very hardworking, and we will step forward, and we will implement the law the best we can. We are excited that the governor's proposed 2019-2020 biennial budget does provide some additional staffing assistance.
It
yeah. also provides investment in some laboratory services. So we are excited and grateful for that. But we do recognize the fact that there's interest in the countryside in this crop, and I think that is something that we look forward to servicing.
Well, what are you hearing? Farmers in other states, our upper Midwest states, where the soil conditions are favorable, are they also planning to ramp up greatly the number of hemp production? And if so, Mr. Organic Farmer, aren't you worried about your buyers collapsing, price collapsing?
No, I don't think so. Not in this. We're in such an infant market right now. No, I think we're years from anything like that. And it's interesting. Some states are actually. I'm sure Senator Teston can remember what it was, one of the Dakotas that actually didn't pass it. I mean, they're saying you can't grow hemp here. So you're seeing pushbacks from other states, which is, to me, is kind of mind-boggling. So I'm not concerned with that right now, as far as. So.
And not only that, we have seen other states that have experienced explosions within interest within their hemp programs.
Yep.
However, their explosions compared to Wisconsin's. I mean, they're not even the same league. I mean, we know there are some states where they've seen a surge of maybe a couple hundred applications. No other state in the country has had a more successful launch of an industrial hemp pilot program in year one, and no state has seen the growth in interest in year two. So when I've said previously in previous remarks that I think Wisconsin's poised to be a national leader in this crop in the next 5 to 10 years, I think it's going to be sooner than that.
Okay. Now, you use the term trailer bill, which means we passed a major bill on an issue, and now we have to pass a following bill to kind of tweak it a little bit. What are the elements in your trailer bill that you're going to sponsor it in the Assembly, you're going to sponsor it in the Senate, and do we need to pass the trailer bill for a successful second hemp growing season this year? Senator.
So a lot of the changes that we are being proposed in the legislation that we're going to introduce are technical changes to put us in line with the changes that were made at the federal level. So the feds changed the definition of hemp. It was industrial hemp in federal statutes. Now it's just hemp. They allow for the interstate commerce of this. And so a lot of these changes are being incorporated into this. Secondly, a lot of what is being proposed, some of the tweaks to the program, are coming from recommendations that were made from not only the department, but processors and growers on how we test it, when we test it, to what's allowed, what isn't allowed. We do provide some truth in labeling to make sure that there's some basic consumer protections for products like CBD oil and others. So a lot of this has been in conjunction with the stakeholders who are most impacted and work with this directly on a day-to-day basis. So I'm really optimistic with how far we've come. We have met several times since the passage of the 2018 Farm Bill to even today, where we have worked with the department hand in hand, and I think we're in a really good spot to ensure that our program remains the gold standard in the country. Because when you talk to a lot of industry folks within the hemp industry, they look to Act 100 as kind of the model for other states to follow, that we really got it right. And that's due in large part to the work that was done by not only the department, but Ledge Council, Farm Bureau, and even the Wisconsin Hemp Alliance.
Is your bill, you've drafted it, redrafted it? Has it been, have you formally dropped it in the hopper yet, introduced?
Not yet. We still have. I believe we're going to have, our staffs are going to meet one more time at the Department of Agriculture, I believe, on Friday.
That's great.
And then from there, we're going to have any final tweaks or recommendations. We're trying to nip any potential problems before we drop the bill. And that's why we're taking our due diligence to get this right. Because as much as we love it, hemp, we don't want to have to keep coming back every 2 years to do hemp 3.0, hemp 4.0.
Right. Well, I can hear members of your caucus saying, we have to fix the hemp bill. You're going to make me go through that again? So there's unity in this draft, even though it's not yet formally in the hopper?
You know, it's interesting. If we don't do anything, then basically the federal government's going to step in. So, you know, I commend Senator Testen because he worked on this last session. And as far as that cap's concerned, you know, you think about it, they had so many lessons learned. I would even agree with the secretary. Probably agree with this. I don't even think DATCAP knew in year one that it was going to be so successful, and they did a very good job flexing to the demand. And so our bill also addresses that. And you know, we recognize the DATCAP's work on that, and that we—I mean, obviously, you know, the new positions, the stuff for equipment. DATCAP adapts very well, but we're taking those lessons learned and putting into this bill. And I think that with a lot of good input, we're going to have a good quality bill moving forward and give them a little flexibility, because you got to think the federal government's still learning about this too.
Yes.
And they're going to take
the
example.
Secretary said, they're still drafting rules.
That's right.
They still are.
And so they're going to take what we do,
that's right,
and what DATCAP does, and so we have to be flexible to that.
Are the production costs for hemp higher than other crops?
It depends on what you're doing. Like, for instance, I'm going to plant. I'm planting grain, so like I pay $1.40 for a pound of hemp seed. There's some people that are growing it for CBD oil, that a seed, just one seed, can be anywhere from $1 to $8, depending on the variety.
Did you
they
say
buy.
One seed?
One seed. Yes.
And
I
you're
did.
Going in for grain, and what's what price are you paying?
I'm paying $1.40 per pound of seed. I think a pound of seed. I just had the conversion of what I can't remember. It was like 3,000 seeds per pound or something like that. I might be wrong on that, but because I'm planting 32 pounds per acre for grain.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And that's the my seed cost. Or roughly, I average probably about $100 an acre.
Well, you've got a buyer?
I do.
Otherwise, you'd have to rethink this?
Yes, I would.
And so have you taken a look at cost to grow for grain, cost to grow for oil?
Well, like I said, I'm just doing it for the grain. Grain's going to be very similar to what corn inputs are on my farm.
Okay.
For, I've heard, Senator Testen probably knows the more for the actual CBD oil per acre. But it's drastic change for what you're going to pay for to plant 1 acre of CBD oil.
You just said one seed, yep, for CBD oil. How much?
Can go anywhere from range from $1 up to $8.
Does that get into some of the theft potential that we mentioned earlier?
Well, it can, but there are a variety of different varieties, yeah, of this seed. But the representative is correct in his statements. And again, what the farmer plans to use it for on the end use. And that's what is so interesting about this crop, is there's so many different end uses and opportunities for farmers to engage. And if we can get a nice mix in the processing industry, this provides opportunities for our farmers and our rural communities.
You know, those varieties are no different than corn. I mean, there's so many different type of corn varieties. I mean, I hate to say it, the sky is the limit. And hemp's no different. The different varieties are going to produce different aspects that you want. Mm-hmm. And that's quite normal with them. So,
well, is hemp in competition with our ginseng crop, Senator?
I think that's a different market, but I have heard from individuals who have said that hemp could be Wisconsin's next specialty crop, like potatoes, cranberries, or ginseng. So I think we are well positioned to be just that, a specialty crop in the state.
Okay. So let's talk about the next steps. You're going to sponsor this bill, and it's got the agreement of the executive
branch.
We're
all working together on it. Yeah.
And you're going to explain it to your caucuses. Mm-hmm. And when they say hemp again, you're going to say, no, there's no major changes here. We're just codifying coming in line with the federal farm bill, correct?
For the most part, and there are some other changes, like I said, recommendations that were made from growers, processors, and the department. So, for instance, I've been meeting with some of my colleagues in our caucus just to sit down with them, make sure that they're still comfortable with where we're at with hemp. Because, I mean, there have been some instances where law enforcement have come across hemp bud, hemp flower during traffic stops, and they can't differentiate it between marijuana unless it gets tested. So we just want to alleviate any of those concerns, because one change that was made at the federal level was that it allows for the interstate commerce of hemp. So whether law enforcement likes hemp or not, hemp is still able to get transported through the state. And so we're working with some colleagues of ours who may have some concerns or may have some issue with that, just to educate them on the bill, why we need to do this bill, and to ensure that this crop remains viable, this industry remains viable. And many of my colleagues, both in the Assembly and the Senate, who were here last session, already voted for it because the bill passed unanimously.
Okay, but you mentioned the M word, marijuana. Do you think those that want to, the governor's budget, medical marijuana plus decriminalize up to 30 grams, do you think those that favor the provisions in the governor's budget are going to say, just a minute here, for me to vote for your hemp bill, I need you to consider the changes the governor wants in marijuana? That these issues will get twinned up, Senator? Are you afraid of that?
No, and we have been very clear from the onset of this, even going back to 2017 when the bill was first introduced, to keep these as two separate spheres. They have to be. Even though they look similar, they smell the same, they are still very different. I mean, statutorily, hemp cannot be above 0.3% THC. And genetically, they're different plants. They're cousins, but different. And so that has been probably the biggest hurdle that we've had to encounter, is just making sure that we keep those two issues separate from each other. Because if you begin to muddy the waters, then I think you run into problems where there will be individuals who say, well, marijuana wrapped in with hemp, well, I can't support that. And given the numbers that were just shown earlier, I don't want that to threaten this industry.
Do you need your trailer bill to pass and be signed into law before we really get into the hemp growing season? No?
No.
No.
No?
Because now things will continue as they operated under year one of the program.
That's correct.
Okay.
We are still operating underneath the federal government. Even though the farm bill passed, the 2018 farm bill passed, because their USDA and FDA is in the rulemaking process, we still operate within our pilot program.
Okay.
And as the senator stated, the pilot program that Wisconsin passed unanimously, a bipartisan basis, that was a piece of legislation, quite frankly, is one of the strongest in the nation. And unlike other states, we don't have limits on the number of licenses. We don't have limits on acreage. And that provides opportunities for people to step forward.
Is a deadline for Wisconsin growers and processors to apply, has that passed?
It was in early March.
Mr. Secretary?
Yeah.
Okay, we're almost out of time. Let's have the final question this way. Farmers in Wisconsin that are thinking about growing hemp this season, give them advice. Mr. Organic Farmer, go first.
I would say start slow. You know, I farm 200 acres organically. I'm only doing about 33 acres, so I'm starting slow. Last year, I would have probably only gone 10.
Okay.
So that's my caution to growers, is start slow.
Senator?
Contact the Department of Agriculture. They've been, like I said earlier, a tremendous resource. The fact that they were able to get this program off the ground within 90 days of the law being passed under emergency rules, I mean, phenomenal work. And they have just continue to do a great job. And so encourage people, make sure you have a buyer at the end of the process, and then contact the Secretary's department to get information.
Mr. Secretary, final word?
It's been an honor to work with the representative and the senator as we move forward to the next step in hemp and investing in Wisconsin agriculture. So thank you.
Fascinating. The interest in hemp is growing in Wisconsin. You can see it by the numbers. I want to thank the Ag Secretary Brad Pfaff and Senator Pat Testa and Representative Tony Kurtz. And let's come back, talk about this at the end of the season.
Sounds great.
That's all good. Right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Steve. Thanks.